Big news, one generous Marketplace fan, Dr. Joe Rush from Florida, is offering to match the next $50,000 in donations to Marketplace. And every single gift gets us closer to a critically important May fundraising goal. Give right now and double your impact thanks to this generous match. Go to marketplace.org/givetech. As much of Hollywood remains on strike, the studios go on an AI hiring spree. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Lily Jamali. Hollywood is now a month into its first double strike since 1960. The Writers Guild, which hit the picket line in May, and now the Actors Union, both want higher pay and residuals from the big studios. But earlier this week, when I spoke to people picketing on the sidewalk outside Walt Disney Studios in Burbank, another issue came up a lot.
There's been a lot of discussion about AI and how it's going to just easily replace and take away the work of actors.
I think for a lot of people, it always felt like it was far off in the future, and so they didn't have to think about it. And now the future is mostly here. For years, we've been told, well, this kind of technology, it can't replace creative jobs, but if you are ready to lower the level of quality that you want to work with, then it can take those jobs.
That was Jeannie Sakata. She's an actress in SAG-AFTRA. And Elliot Kalin, a former head writer on The Daily Show and a member of the Writers Guild. Their concerns about artificial intelligence are shared across their unions. And yet, as actors and writers fight to limit the use of AI, the studios are hiring for a growing number of AI-related jobs. For an update on where things stand, I spoke to Lucas Shaw, who covers media and entertainment for Bloomberg.
The writers and studios have sort of returned to the negotiating table. You know, the writers went on strike first and had not really spoken with the studios since then. But the fact that they're meeting at all, most people see as a positive. The actors, there's been really nothing new. You know, I think it's pretty common that when a guild or a union goes on strike, at least initially, they seem to want to, you know, get on the picket lines and make some noise and try to make the studio sweat a little bit. One assumes that if one of the guilds makes a deal, it will accelerate the path for the other. I think there had been an assumption that the actors would be the first to make a deal just because they had had more substantive conversations with the studios previously. But now we don't know. Now it could be the writers. Who knows?
How would you characterize the mood in Hollywood right now?
Defeated. It's been a pretty rough few years for the entertainment business. Not that it's been easy for anyone, but the acceleration in cord cutting and the decline in pay TV had already led to a bunch of mergers and layoffs and strategy changes that were fairly destabilizing. Then we had the pandemic, which was a traumatic event for everyone. And as the industry seemed to be kind of emerging from the pandemic while trying to grapple with the kind of continued secular challenges in the business, there's this double strike. And so you have, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands of people who are either out of work or who have a lot less to do. It's had an impact on a lot of other related industries. So it's not been the most uplifting time for the industry, for the town of Los Angeles, and for a lot of other cities where there's a lot of production. You know, people want to work.
Now, on the studio side, we're learning that Disney is creating a new AI task force and that studios like Netflix and Amazon Prime Video are ramping up hiring for AI-related roles. What do you make of this trend against the backdrop of these labor strikes?
I understand why it is a concern for writers, for actors, for laborers, because any movement towards greater adoption of AI feels like a threat to them, maybe if they're not protected. On the other hand, it's just sort of common sense that these big media companies would want to explore ways that they can use this technology that everybody's telling them is going to change the world. It doesn't mean that they're going to start employing the technology at scale or they even know how to use it, right? They're trying to figure out what it means, what are the best practices. And it's just incumbent upon them that while they do that, they should also be talking with these unions, talking with the talent to make sure that they feel that they are protected. Because the big thing from my conversations with talent agents and lawyers and people who represent talent is that it is all about control and consent. so that if you film an actor or you use a writer's script, you're not then repurposing it using AI without their consent and without them having some say in how it's used.
And I know it's still really early, but what do we know about these kinds of roles, like the Disney Task Force on AI? What would that actually look like potentially?
I think every company has basically pulled together, you know, leaders from across the different businesses to get together and talk about ways that they can use AI or what it means for them. And think about it, even for these media companies, you know, it's both offense and defense, because on the one hand, they want to figure out ways to use it to their advantage. On the other hand, AI poses a threat to any owner of intellectual property, right? A lot of these models can just scrape text from across the internet and learn how to spit out information. And in film and television, they're going to be models that could be trained on scripts or could be trained on clips from a movie. And so if you're a studio, you're trying to make sure that this doesn't violate those copyrights. Because look, we've been through versions of this. Like the worst case of it is, you know, straight piracy that we experienced sort of at the turn of the century. There's also sort of user-generated content, which has often violated copyrights, and they had to build a legal framework for how to make sure the original rights holder got paid. And I think you're going to see something similar for AI, where models that get trained on something that is the property of someone else will have to pay for the right to access that. That money then should go to these media companies, who hopefully will also share some of it with their creative partners.
Is it your impression that actors and writers are fully against AI, or is there some middle ground where AI and their jobs can peacefully coexist?
Neither one of them has called for a blanket ban, right? So the writers don't want studios to use their scripts to train large language models. They want to make sure that sort of a human is credited as the originator of any idea. The actors, they've negotiated with the studios on a number of fronts. They want to make sure there are rules governing how you create and use digital replicas of actors. And they also want some limits around the use of generative AI and synthetic performers. So that would be where maybe you train a model on a famous actor or a few actors and then like spit out something that is completely fabricated. I think that on the AI front, my sense is at least the studios and actors will reach a deal sooner rather than later.
That was Bloomberg's Lucas Shaw. And we'd like to note that SAG-AFTRA represents some journalists here at Marketplace. Before either of the unions went on strike, we talked on this show about how artificial intelligence has been used in Hollywood for years, mostly in post-production for visual effects. My colleague Megan McCarty-Carino spoke to Joshua Glick, a film professor at Bard College, about AI's leading role in some recent films and his case for embracing this technology in the future. We've got a link to that interview, as well as a link to Lucas Shaw's reporting, including his weekly newsletter, Screen Time, at our website, marketplacetech.org. We've also posted reporting on Hollywood's AI hiring spree from the LA Times. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Lily Jamali, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.